Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, for the fourth time, I am so happy to welcome the Yali Fellows to the studio. For those who don't know, the Young African Leader Initiative empowers young people from throughout the continent of Africa with leadership training, networking, and coursework. The Mandela Washington Fellowship started in 2014, and it continues today with a robust group of young African leaders who are matriculating here at Clark Atlanta University. Our first guest is Jean Jacques from the Ivory Coast. This morning, we're talking with one of the Yali Fellows, Mr. Jean-Jacques Abi from the Ivory Coast, and his company is called Africa Doc, AfricaDoc.com. Jean-Jacques, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to always talk with the Yali Fellows, but I was really happy this year when I learned about your company. Could you share with our listeners exactly what Africa Doc is and why you decided to enter in this type of business?
Okay. Thank you, Kathleen, for the opportunity. So basically, Africa Doc is all about helping people finding doctors online. So we are a small company. We help people to go online looking for their doctors, and when they find the doctors, they can get an appointment with the doctor, they get the confirmation on the mobile phone, and so that is it. And why have you chosen to begin with that? We noticed that in our country, many people are not so close to the hospital, and in this situation we have people we get some rendezvous with the doctors, and when they go to the hospital they find, for example, that the doctor has canceled the rendezvous, and they were not aware of this situation. So what we have noticed this problem, and what we have decided to do is to create a digital platform to help them find this doctor in advance, so that they don't need to go to the hospital first. And when they are in the hospital, they are pretty sure that the doctor will be able to assist them and to help them for their diseases.
So it takes out any confusion about getting an appointment and maybe not realizing that the appointment was canceled or changed. Exactly. Because all of the information is in the app.
Yeah, sure. All the information are in the app. And the good thing is that the app is able to help you find a doctor nearest your home. So let's say I am in Atlanta and I want to get a doctor nearest my home. I don't need to go in another city outside Atlanta to get it. You have the nearest hospitals. You have the doctor. You have his time slot. And when everything is okay, you just have to click one button. You get your confirmation. You have your doctor, and you go to the rendezvous.
So it also takes out not only the confusion of the appointment, but it helps people to manage the distance that they're going to go to get service.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in my country, there are a lot of we have not enough hospital. We can't get an hospital for more than 10 miles from your home. So it's not so easy to reach out to the hospital, because they are a kind of you have to take care of your transportation and many things like that. With our solution, we try to help people. Don't think about transportation. Don't think about money they could lose about the rendezvous which has been canceled.
I think that's wonderful, and actually some of the challenges that you're speaking to are challenges that we face in the U.S., which brings me to your country, the Ivory Coast. You know, lots of people have different ideas about the continent of Africa and the countries within it, and you have these ideas because of the things and the stereotypes that you see in the general media. Mm-hmm. And now we're in the South, yeah. So there are a lot of people who have you know, stereotypical ideas about Southerners and Southerners in business. And, you know, so we can understand that. But share with our listeners something about the Ivory Coast that they probably would not know if they had never been there before.
Yeah. Okay. The first thing I noticed when I was in America is that you eat so many chocolates. But let me tell you that all these chocolates came from my country, because chocolate is made by from cocoa, and my country produces 40% of cocoa in the world. So the United States is the first client of my country when it comes to cocoa. And also in my country we have do you know a basilica? It's a kind of church, huge church, Catholic. The people who are from Catholicism like to go. And my country has also this as the first, the biggest in the world. So it's a good place to live, because we also have many beaches on the country. So if you are in the summer and you want to visit the country, be sure that Ivory Coast is the best place to be, because you will have the same weather like in Atlanta. Summer is sunny like in Atlanta, and also the nights are not so cold. So it's really a peaceful place to be.
That sounds wonderful. Now, you are in the technology field. What drove you into technology? And share with our listeners what tech is like in your country. Because again, you know, a lot of people would think they don't have technology on the continent of Africa.
Yeah, sure. Because what you don't know is that basically I'm not a scientist or a computer programmer. I have a background in statistics. And what drives me to technology is that I found that we have access to internet in my country. But many people use this access only to go on Facebook or on social media and to gossip. I found out that if I can have a team of good developers who are passionate about technology like me, I can create an impact. And what we have done is to constitute this team and to try to identify a problem in my community. And this problem were around us, because many of our parents, I used to say that they go to a hospital and they can't meet the doctor because the appointment was cancelled or because the secretary has missed something. So based on these problems and based on the good access of the internet in my country, we decided to take all this together and to come up with a solution to help people leverage on the good access of the internet, but also on the solution, because on the problem, because there are problems, but there are actually opportunities for us to get money. So basically, that is the story behind this.
I mean, every good businessman is solving someone's problem.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it is. And healthcare is very important. So lots of beaches in the Ivory Coast, lots of access to tech.
Yeah.
What made you want to become part of the Yali Fellows program?
The Yali program is an amazing program, and I heard about it just in 2014 when President Obama launched a program. And I seen that it's a unique opportunity for me to network with people in America, because when we for us who are in the tech industry, when we think about technology, we think about Silicon Valley, we think about Google, Amazon and Facebook. So being able to be there and trying to learn from their experience was the I can't say the unique motivation for participating to this fellowship. And one another motivation is that it's another opportunity to meet more than 700 Africans from my continent. I don't think that I will have this opportunity if I was in my country, sitting in my on my beaches. So I think these two situations made me take the step to the fellowship.
Well, Jean-Jacques, I am so happy that you were accepted into the fellowship. And for our listeners who want to know more, your company again is Africa Doc. That's AFRIKADOC.com.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you.
Now we're talking with Diana Duana, a Yali fellow from Liberia, and her company is called Dia Afrique Designs, and that's spelled D-I-E hyphen A-F-R-I-K Designs. Diana, welcome.
Good morning, ma'am. Well, thank you very much for having me this morning.
I am happy to have you, Diana. You look so beautiful. And knew immediately that you were my jewelry designer because of the wonderful jewelry that you are wearing today. But share with our listeners, what made you get into this jewelry business? What was your impetus?
Thank you so much. So as a young girl coming up, I love working with my hands. I love innovating new things. And, you know, the idea is in the mind and I love bringing it to reality. But I had priorities then, like school, home assignments, and it drifted me away from my passion or my talent. So coming out of the university, Liberia was hit with the Ebola virus in 2014. So it was then everybody was like stuck up. You had to be alone. You're not associating with others. We're not working. And it was during that time I had a lot of time to put into what I love doing the most. So I got inspired by the African fabric, you know, the different patterns, the design, how beautiful it was. So I would just look at the lapa and imagine something nice coming out of it. And that was when I got started with what I do today.
That is a wonderful story. So out of something so horrific as the Ebola crisis, gave you time to be still, to connect with what you wanted to do.
Exactly.
So when you talk about the African fabrics and the multicolors of the designs and seeing that as jewelry, who were some of your first customers? Who were the people who thought, that girl's on to something?
So like when I had my first pieces done, I wore it and went to church. So all of my girlfriends are like, where did you get this? Where did you get this? And I had it done myself. And I love knitwork. So that was my very first try. But I put my all into it and it came out so perfect. So they were like doubting everybody. You got to be joking. And I'm like, no, I had this done. And I had a lot of applause and it motivated me. And initially, for a few times, I did it like a hobby. But for each time I wear it and step out, I get motivated from the feedbacks I get. And that's how I got started.
That is a wonderful story. So your products pretty much sold themselves.
Of course.
Because even though you were just starting, you were doing it in such a professional way.
Yes, ma'am.
So you mentioned that you all are expanding into decor and other things. Share what your next projects are going to be.
So, I'm interested in doing a lot of main items. Like now, almost a majority of what I do are female accessories. So, it's like the men always get to ask, but these things are nice. Why don't you do things for men? Why aren't you? But again, one thing that held me back the manpower because, you know, it started all out as a one-man initiative. But now I'm training other young girls, so I want to build up my capacity so that I'm able to keep up with production. And then I want to add, like, handbags, like, clothing, shoes, a lot of stuff for men, children as well, because right now I think I have hairbands for girls, children, but I want to add a few things too.
So you're building an enterprise, one product at a time, but all around the beautiful fabrics that are native to Africa.
Yes, ma'am.
So now you're from Liberia.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell our listeners something that they would probably never know about Liberia if they hadn't been there.
Okay. So Liberia is a small country on the west coast of Africa, and with the population at estimated 5 million. And we're the first country in Africa to gain her independence. It's a beautiful country with a beautiful weather. We have like the rainy season and the dry, a very beautiful place to be. And we are the coastline, so we have beautiful beaches and a lot of exciting places that you can see or visit if you think on Liberia. And again, Liberia is a country that's rich in resources. We have gold, we have diamond, we have iron ores, we have a lot of rubber being produced in Liberia. We have silver, we have timbers, like the logs. We have a very rich forest.
So Liberia.
And Liberia produced the first female president in Africa, that is Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, in 2006.
And we love Madam Sirleaf. She is a beautiful woman, such an inspiration to so many people. So, Diana, share with our listeners just a little bit of why it was important for you to become a Yali Fellow and what your acceptance means for your business.
Wow. Being a Yali Fellow is a great honor, because like a young lady with so much passion and desire and talent as well, the basis of it is just something that I create in my head and do. But to get trained, the exposure, the networking, the academic coursework, of course, it's been so much of a great, great impact to me. It's changed my mindset. I have a whole new thinking. And the good part about it is that it's not only limited to maybe business, because I'm an entrepreneur, but it cut across with the whole range of leadership. So as a young person, though I'm into the business or entrepreneurial activities, but I also can be a leader and I can impact my community and my country at large significantly. So it's just overwhelming. And as a young woman, I think it pushes me. I would say to he who much is given, much is expected. So now being put, because the process was so competitive, coming through means that there is so much I need to go back and do. I have the passion, and I'm so glad that God made this. I see this as a divine blessing from God, because it has a lot of impact that it's going to make on me, and not just me. The trickle-down effects back home.
Well, you're already a leader because you're training young girls to help with the production of your company. So I know that your community sees you as a leader, Diana, and I'm so happy that you were able to share some information with us. For our listeners who might want to obtain some of your jewelry or want to see some of your designs, how can they contact you or follow up with you?
Like now, I'm not selling online, but presently here in the States, I brought a lot of pieces with me. So I can give you a card. And I have a phone number so bad I don't remember the number of it. It's so bad, but again, I have a Facebook page and it bears the business name Dia, that is D-I-A Hafin, A-F-R-I-K, and Designs. So it's Dia Afric Designs, and on there I have a lot of different pieces.
Love Facebook, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's Dia Afric Designs,
yes,
on
ma'am.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, Diana, I want to just thank you so much. This is Diana Dwana, and it's Dia Afric Designs, and I'll have a link online so that people can find your Facebook page.
And I also have like my email address that could help as well. So it's Diana, D-I-A-N-A, W-I-A-H, @yahoo.com. So it's dinawear@yahoo.com. And most of the time what I do for some of my customers that are over here, once I have an order, I'll try to connect with friends and see who's traveling, and then I have the things carried. So for now, that is how I get my things out.
I love it. You are a very resourceful young lady, and I'll make sure that everyone has your contact information. Diana, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pam. It was a pleasure being here.
The next Yali fellow that we're going to be talking with this morning is Linda Alwedo, and her company is called Highline Fashions, and she is from Uganda. Linda, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. And I remember when I met you at the opening reception, I think I knew immediately you were the fashion designer.
Oh, wow.
Or when you said, you know, fashion designer, it was like, yes, I can see it, because you're wearing your designs.
Like I'm walking the fashion.
So you are walking billboard for your designs.
Thank you so much.
And you wear them very well. But now, how did you get involved in fashion? Was it, you know, something that you grew up wanting to do, or how?
Oh, it's actually something I grew up wanting to do, because when I was joining the university, I asked my parents if they could let me go to a fashion school instead of going to the university. And they were like, no, you need to finish, have your university degree first before you go to venture into other things. So I had to join the university, and then I studied economics. After my graduation, that's when I decided to start venturing into fashion. I actually had no idea what I wanted to do with fashion, but all I knew was that I could create things. Because since I was a child, I always made little clothes for dolls and for little babies. I would try to make them with my hands. I just left from school. I started a job, and then I felt like I wasn't happy because that's not what I wanted to do. So I decided to quit my job. I was working with a microfinance company. I decided to quit, and I opened up a boutique. Then after a month, that was in 2012, I started as a boutique. Then I started buying machines, bringing people to try put down the ideas that I would sketch and put them down in fabrics and make clothes. Then I decided to learn how to make the clothes by myself. So, because in most cases, it's very challenging to be a fashion designer when you can't make the clothes by yourself. It's very, very challenging, because sometimes people don't understand what you want to do. So I decided that I should have the skills and start making the clothes also by myself. So that way, if you're instructing people, they will also understand that you know what you're doing. So they will respect you, and you'll make a few mistakes.
So now, how long before trying to, you know, translate your ideas for someone else before you went on and decided, no, I've got to do this for myself?
It wasn't a very long time, because I started in September 2012. Then by end of the year, I could make clothes by myself. Yeah, because I would do a lot of online trying. And I also had a lady person who was also an informally trained tailor. So basically what I needed to learn was the basic skills in tailoring and garment cutting. So I got a lot of that from her. Then I would also go online here and there. Sometimes I just needed to get a dress that is made, then I try to copy it. Yeah.
So you went through a lot of different ways to get the skills that you have. Who were your first customers of those designs that you were making?
My first customers were basically my friends and then family. And, of course, a few clients who believed in me.
And as a walking billboard, did people...
Oh, most of the time when I make something and then I walk out there, I'm going to come back with a few orders.
Yes, I think that
for the same thing.
I think that is wonderful. For our listeners who've never been to Uganda, tell us something about your country that we probably don't know.
Oh, Uganda is one of the small countries in East Africa. We have a population of about 41 million people. It's a very beautiful country, I must say. We have like the biggest lake in Africa. No, it's Lake Victoria is like the second biggest lake in Africa. And then we also have the River Nile, that is the longest river in Africa. So I'm so proud of that. Then we have a number of features like we have mountains, so many things that people would wish to go and see. We have gorillas, very beautiful animals, the elephants, chimpanzees, Uganda, and we have like the best climate in the world. So that's why they call us the Pearl of Africa. Our weather is awesome, because any time of the year you go, you just be sure you're going to enjoy yourself.
That is wonderful. And now, for our listeners who want to find out more about Highline Fashions, you're on Facebook. They can put in Highline Fashions and find you.
Sure. Right now, Highline Fashions, we basically have a workshop and then a display section within the workshop. So most of our clients find us online, it's also personal contacts. If people call, people send us messages on WhatsApp, Facebook.
Word of mouth.
We are working on a website, but our Facebook page is called Highline Fashions. And you can also call us or send us WhatsApp message, or mostly WhatsApp, on +256 775 99 44 32.
And now, Linda, before I let you go, tell our listeners what being a Yali fellow means to you.
It's amazing. I was personally not expecting to be here, because I did this as I was probably one of the last applicants. But because I always hear it's very, very, very competitive in Africa, because like this year, we were so thousands of people applied. Like in my country, we're like 3,000, but they only needed 25 people. That's how tough it is. So the chances are very low that you would get through to the fellowship. So I'm very privileged to be here. I'm learning a lot of things. I am so happy to be mixing with the Americans. EU people are very nice people, very amazing people. I'm so happy to be here. So I'm hoping I'm going to take a lot of things that I've seen from here, developmental ideas. I'm going to take them back home and also try to implement those that are possible. And I hope for future partnership and collaboration with a number of people, and most especially the people in the fashion industry.
This is so wonderful. Linda, I want to thank you. We always love talking with the Yali Fellows, and this group is just amazing. So thank you so much for taking some time to talk with our listeners.
I am very privileged to be here. And thank you so much for listening, everyone out there. Thank you.
I want to thank those young African leaders, the Yali Fellows who are here. It is always so wonderful to hear from these young people and their plans to save the world. If you want more information about the Yali Fellows, you can go to cau.edu. You've been listening to The Local Take, community engagement from 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. You can leave comments or questions on our community engagement line at 404-880-6211 or email kiplinprimus@gmail.com. Past interviews are available for on-demand listening at wclk.com. The Local Take is produced by Kiplin Primus, Rob Maynard, and Jami Wellman. WCLK is a proud licensee of Clark Atlanta University.